channel to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung. You know, I wish I had more privacy in this place. Like, honestly, I could hear all my neighbors. It's like such a small place, and the floor here is tile. It's like stone tile, so it echoes, and like I can hear my neighbors like watching TV when I walk down the hall. I could hear them like talking. You know, it's just weird. And it's like weird of me to even overthink it because like I'm putting this on a podcast. I'm putting this out into the world. Like, why do I feel weird about privacy issues right now? It's like so dumb. And yet it's still like in my head as a thing. How are you all doing today, huh? It's very hot in Madison, Wisconsin. I have this fan. This is a beautiful fan that I got in Korea. Not babysitting, but I was like supervising or like being like the supervising like a group of high school Korean students when I was there in 2009 on my Fulbright, and they bought me this beautiful fan because I bought all the kids ice cream, you know? They were gonna each buy an ice cream. I think there were like 10 of them, and each ice cream costs like $2-3, and they were like, oh, it's too expensive. I was like, it's nothing. Like, grab an ice cream, I'm happy to pay for it. So they pooled their money together and they bought me this beautiful fan, and I was like, thanks guys. And I've kept it ever since. I've kept it for the last 15 years. I'm still adjusting to Madison. I don't have a podcast studio set up yet. As you can tell, I don't have my mic set up yet. I don't have a desk at the moment. I still don't have a desk. I have two chairs. Both of them are uncomfortable. I don't have a table. So I'm just like sitting on the floor doing this. So please be patient with me while I get my shit together and order a desk sometime this week, preferably. And if you would like to expedite my ability to get a desk, you can always support me on Patreon. That's right. I haven't uploaded anything on Patreon in like a couple months, but I will. I promise you I will. Because I've been watching a lot of cinema, and there are some films that I want to talk about, okay? Like Youth by Paolo Sorrentino, or The Sixth Sense by M. Night Shyamalan. The show I want to talk about today is called Maestra. Maestra, Strings of Truth. It stars Yi Young-ae, who she hasn't done TV in like a year, like a couple of years, right? I think we last saw her playing that detective in like that cat and mouse, like crime fiction drama. But yeah, this one, Maestra, it's based on a French series called Philharmonia. And when I was watching this, like on Hulu, it's on Hulu in the United States. If you're in the US, you can see it on Hulu. If you're outside of the US territories, I don't know where they're streaming it, but I'm sure you could find it somewhere. But when I was watching this, I was thinking like, oh my God, like this show ripped off of Todd Field's Tar like so much, you know? Have you guys seen that movie, Tar, with Cate Blanchett? It is an amazing movie. It's incredible. But yeah, like felt like it ripped from Tar. I felt like it ripped from Mozart in the Jungle. I felt like it ripped from Youth by Paolo Sorrentino because of the elderly woman in Maestra who was a former musician is like, there's another theme in Youth by Paolo Sorrentino. And then today I read that it's based on Philharmonia, which is a French series. And I'm like, oh my God, if it is based exactly on Philharmonia, the French series, then perhaps that series ripped from Tar and Mozart and Youth. But then maybe all of these shows and TV, all of these TV shows and films are just ripping from one another all the time anyway. So who gives a shit, you know? And it's not like an exact carbon copy kind of situation, right? It's not like a Gucci bag kind of situation, right? I'm thinking more like, I was more in awe actually of how K-dramas tend to do this. They tend to take the premise of another work of content, and then they replicate it exactly as is, but they only take the premise, like the bare bones of it, and then they turn it into their own hysterical thing. Like it just goes down like a totally different path. And that's what makes it amazing. That's what makes it unique and stand out. I thought the drug through line, the storyline with the drugs was interesting because, you know, like that is a truth among many artists. It's like artists do drugs. A lot of them do. A lot of artists are troubled people and they have these dependencies. So the lack of empathy that the show has, again, which is found time and time again in K-dramas, time and time again, there's just like no empathy, no compassion for people who have a drug dependency. You see that again in this show, which was, to me, problematic. So I'll mention that. But I also was noting there's this actress named Hwang Boreumbyeol. Like her name is unique in that it has four syllables. Usually Korean names have three syllables, but Hwang Boreumbyeol is this model slash actress. She's very new to the scene. I think she started her career out in the year 2020. And her character has this like really unhealthy obsession with Se-eum, the maestra. Has this like bizarre obsession, like a hang up with her. And I'm like, is this like some kind of queer love situation? And from like the angle of this character, this young woman's character was like, she faced negligence, you know, she has like a trauma related to her mother in her youth. And she's sort of like using Se-eum as a mother figure replacement in her life, which is erupting the obsession. I mean, I guess in that regard, you could label it a kind of queer love in that it's like chosen family kind of situation. But I was also thinking like, I think she's in love with her. I think she has like a sick sort of, yeah, like infatuation with Se-eum's character, which I thought was really interesting. Really, really interesting. I think this is like a very adult kind of series, you know? Like it felt very grown up because Yeonye is playing a woman who is not only a very ambitious composer, who's dealing with like failing health, a divorce, but also a new love that's also an old love, you know? Like whenever I see characters who are married and they're in this transition phase, which is rare, I don't really see that in a lot of K-dramas when they're married and in a transition phase, but like that is a big reality in South Korea given that like half the, you know, married couples there are divorced. But this one is like looking at it from a very frank position, like a place of my career comes first, all right? As a modern woman, my career comes first, everything else comes second. And she's very clear on that. And I thought that was like very grown up and interesting. Also a little heartbreaking because it's like, well, I mean, you know, everybody deserves love. Like we want our protagonist, our heroine to have love in the end, of course, right? I was also thinking about like femininity and womanhood in modern contemporary Korean society as like somebody who was ambitious and very successful, right? Especially like as a composer, a conductor, you know? There are very, very, very few conductors in the world who happen to be women. Very, very few and far in between. The majority are men. And she's one of them. And it's very competitive. It's very cutthroat kind of industry. And seeing that, I feel like this show was using all of the elements to showcase like how hard that is, how very lonely and difficult that journey is for a modern woman who is ambitious and successful. All the cards are stacked against her. Everywhere she looks, it's hard to find anybody who she really trusts, like 100%, you know? Like she can't trust her husband. He's a philanderer. And he's like evil, you know, he like fucking poisons her and shit, you know, he's very manipulative and controlling. She can't trust her past lover, you know, because he's also made some mistakes of trying to control her. She can't 100% trust her own father who kept trying to push her back in with her mother who was abusive. And even her best friend, like, it's like, I mean, can I trust you? Like, she seems trustworthy, but also it's like, she's also a big question mark all throughout. There is this, like, weird, sinister vibe about her. her pupil, you know, like her apprentice, Huang, what is it? Huang Borunbyeol's character? Yeah. Like even her, like, you know, she says that she loves her, but it's like, you have an agenda. Like there's something you want from the composer, the conductor. So like, who can she actually trust? You know, and then there's her own illness, and she's like not able to trust her own mind as it's disintegrating her. So I thought that as a theme was very, very clear and apparent, and I thought it was also effective because it's very relevant to present day modern Korean society. I read an article by this economist, and it's about modern contemporary women in South Korea who are highly educated and how they find themselves unable to be married, which is quite different from how it is in the United States, because people who are college educated in the US tend to get married. So this article was looking at that, and it was basically blaming education as the problem for why women can't get married. And I'm not sure if I'm fully convinced that that is the reason why. There's got to be something else, you know? Like, why are we blaming women for being educated? For being educated and unmarried? How about we just say this is just the situation? Like, women are just not getting married, or maybe they're refusing to get married, or maybe the necessity of marriage is on the decline. Maybe we don't need marriage anymore. Perhaps that's something to consider. Where does a person get their nourishment, their companionship, their sense of love? Is it only through a partnership when one is wedded to them? Is that the only way that we can find this, or can they find it in all different areas? And if we turn the storyline of Maestra from that cynical point of view that she can't trust anybody to she is getting some kind of love from all these different people within her community, regardless of whether or not they're 100% trustworthy or not. Because the fact is, you can't 100% trust anybody, including your spouse, as the show is very indicative of. So I thought this was an interesting idea that the show was playing with. I recommend that you check this out. It is, it's not a bad series. I thought it had a lot of fun, juicy stuff in it, and it's a thought-provoking and entertaining kind of series. So I do recommend it. If you have not checked out my book yet, please pick up a copy of K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. I talk about a lot of themes such as this, like gender, sexuality, trauma, war history, and much, much more. So please do check it out. You can visit me on Instagram and TikTok at K-Drama School. If you have any commentary or questions or suggestions or recommendations, you can email me info@kdramaschool.com. If you would like me to come and visit your town and give a book reading or a book talk, you can do that as well. Just email me. And you can also email your local bookstores and ask them to invite me. So thank you all for your kind support and your listenership. I'll talk to you all next week.